one teaspoon, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Baddies.
And those who love us.
Hey baddies, Nicole here in post. I hope you're doing well. Last few weeks have been kind of rough for me, so I had to wait on my exit interview for one Destination X episode, and of course I got one for this week's, so I am going to put them back to back. Obviously spoilers for episode 5 and 6 of Destination X, and then we go into our final 4. So watch out for that. And other than that, I hope that you are doing well. I'm still going to do Big Brother 27 exit interviews, and our first week is about to wrap up, so that's pretty exciting. And just, yeah, keep a lookout for our other content, because we are going to be talking about Perfect Match very soon, myself and my co-host Quita Tinsley. So hope you join us. Bye. Well, hello, I'm Nicole Weaver of the Black Bi Reality Podcast, and I am here with Mac Fitzgerald of Destination X Season 1. How are you doing, Mac?
Oh, I'm doing great. Bummer to be here. Excited to be here, but bummer because of why I'm here. But that's okay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it, because you were probably the biggest threat in there. I loved your confidence throughout this whole show. So you said that you watched the foreign versions of Destination X to prepare, and at first you thought the clues were going to be hard, but then you saw the Jennifer Aniston and Eva for Eva and switched. What are your thoughts that the clues seem to be a little bit more obvious for Americans?
The first two locations, I was wildly overthinking everything, you know, right? Like, Allie and I are at Roman ruins, and I'm like, well, that's one place I can rule out. We're for sure not in Rome, because they would never make it so obvious. And it was just kind of, I had that same mind. I didn't believe we were in Rome until I got off the show and was, I had to ask a producer, because I was like, there's no way that they made it that dumb. But then even the Geneva thing, I didn't pick up on that, but somebody told me later, like, oh, it was Geneva. And I was like, no way. Like, okay, that changes that. If that's what we're doing, like if it's Rome, EO and Juliet, instead of Verona, and Geneva to tell us the clues, then I've got to like way dumb down my thinking and just whatever's the most obvious, I got to run with that and stop overthinking it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Also, we found out later that you and Biggie had a pretty close relationship. So when did that relationship start?
So episode 1, I clocked him as like biggest threat. And so I was kind of like always had that in my mind. And then just kind of as we were all hanging out on the bus, I was like, this guy's really cool and funny, and I think we'd get along. So there was like both of those things where I was like, I want a friendship with him, but also I want to know what he's up to. And so I think it was mostly episode 3, Paris, was when we really kind of started talking to each other a lot more, both as like friends, just kind of shooting the shit in the bus. But then also I wasn't 100% sure on Paris, and like he and I were both talking about it, and we're both like, okay, I think it has to be Paris. And so I felt like I could kind of trust him on that, because it didn't feel like he was trying to, you know, tell me like, oh no, it's for sure somewhere else. And so that trust kind of a little bit started there, and then just kind of continued.
Okay. We saw in the last episode with both of you that he said he would ask you out on a date. And just hearing that Paris, the city of love, was part of this. What's your reaction to that?
You know, loved Biggie as a friend. I thought he was such a great guy. We would joke that like we're the like male and female versions of each other. I'm glad he didn't ask me on a date. I think he's a great guy. You know, best friend on the show for sure. But like, I would much rather just keep that as a friendship situation. I don't know how serious he was. I never got asked on a date.
Yeah.
But I'd rather it just be a friendship. He's a cool guy. We still chat. He came to Austin a couple weeks ago. We hang out, you know, cool guy.
Cool. What made you see him as one of the bigger threats in the cast?
When we were on the tarmac first episode, you know, there would be times when we would just kind of like Jeffrey would be talking or whatever, and everybody would be really attentive to him, but he was never. He was always looking around. You could tell he was always looking for clues. On the bus, he was always tracking the sun. And so I didn't know what all he knew necessarily in terms of like, I knew he hadn't traveled much. So I didn't know the extent of his studies, but it was like, he's here to play. He's not, he's not here to socialize. Like he's trying to pick up on any clue, any information he could get. And so that's what kind of immediately did it. And then he just continued to kind of know things and so continued to prove himself.
Makes sense. The last episode showed Allie and Janae really having a tough time in that kayak and all of those clues. I'm gonna admit from home, I had no clue what tied those clues together or what was the odd man out. What was your thought of how lost they were together?
The kayak episode, I think that's tonight's episode. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
Think so.
Dang, it's so funny. They like have no clue. And I was like, oh, I really wonder what Mac would have thought and how you would have done with that.
Yeah, I have no idea yet.
So we saw you listening to all of these clues in the dungeon because everyone's just talking about what they saw and everything. And you're like, why are these people blabbing? Sure, I'll accept it. Who would you say was the most blabbermouth out of that cast?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it has to be Biggie, I think. Not just because of what he did, but like, I feel like he had his alliance with Shane, and then it was kind of working with Allie. It was also kind of working with me, so he would tell us everything. Also, I know he was telling Rick a lot of things. Also, I know he was telling Kim things. I think he like was kind of close with Peter. I don't think he was telling Peter everything, but like, I think he was kind of playing it a little thin in terms of like not keeping anything locked in necessarily.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I hear you that the social aspect of the game could be really annoying, especially as someone who is prepared with the knowledge. And that things were tense when Janae and Peter joined the cast because you got to skip so many eliminations. What was the original cast reaction to Rick cozying up, though, to Janae and Peter?
You know, I wish it had been a bigger deal. I wish we'd kind of made a bigger deal about it, obviously, in retrospect, because that would have helped me out to some extent. But like, it's really hard to keep secrets on the bus because, like, you know, when people are sneaking away to the other side of the bus to chat. And Biggie, Shane, and Allie and I were all kind of the understanding like, we need to get Peter and Janae out just because it's not fair that they got to come so late. And then you see Rick constantly in the back talking with Peter. And so then it like I wish we had talked more openly about that. Like, because I know I clocked it and was like, something's going on there. I know Allie clocked it, something's going on there. But apparently Biggie didn't clock it. And so I wish we discussed it because then maybe he would have been like, oh, he's gonna tell him Salzburg. And then we're gonna have a problem if Shane knows.
Well, I will say that in these strategy games, usually the person who's already at the bottom or is like a floater, the minute new blood comes in, they are the ones to grab onto that opportunity. But was Rick like really at the bottom and struggling socially before they came in?
I think so. Like, everybody was nice to everybody to that extent, but I don't think anybody really wanted to work with Rick. I know I didn't. I knew he was really smart, but also like in things not shown, like he'd lied directly to me. So I was like, okay, I know I can't trust you because like we're alone right now. I'm trying to bounce ideas off of you and you're just gonna lie to me. So like I think he was at the bottom in the sense that people didn't necessarily want to work with him, but it wasn't like personal. It was like people already have their alliances and like he's somewhat, in a couple different ways proven to not be trustworthy. So I guess in that sense he was kind of alone. I mean, it makes sense why he buddied up with it.
Yes. What were your interactions like with Janae and Peter?
Both of them I thought were super cool people on the bus. Peter, we have a lot of downtime on the bus. He did some magic tricks. He juggled for us. I love a juggler. I actually have my juggling balls right next to me. I've been trying to he was cool. Janae, I think I'd never watched Love Island, so I didn't really know anything about it. And I think she had more or less just come off of it, like maybe a couple months in between, and was talking to us a lot about that. None of us had been on any shows before or seen Love Island. So like it was really interesting hearing all of that. And she's just like a funny, silly person. So they were both cool to be around. But then there was also always the like undercurrent of like, well, unfortunately, we do wish to see you go.
Did you have any inkling Peter was like onto you or would have picked you?
At first, when it was announced that one person would get to pick somebody, I like looked around and was like, Peter, Janae, Shane. And I was like, oh, I'm good. Like, Peter's gonna go with Shane. They just got in a fight. Shaden's gonna go with Peter. They just got in a fight. Janae's probably gonna go with Shane because obviously she's close to Peter. And Janae and I were like good buddies, and I didn't think she would pick me just based on personal reasons. But then when Peter kind of takes a pause and is kind of thinking about it, then I was like, oh, he's not going with like the emotional decision. Like he's for sure gonna pick me. So I knew it before he said it, but like did have some hope there for a bit.
If you were asked to do another reality show that involves social strategy, would you have a different approach for the social strategy aspect?
I think I would have to because I kind of played this game kind of alone for the most part. Like had some buddies and stuff, but I think if it was a social strategy, one, I would have made a stronger effort to find the weakest link to buddy up with. I guess it depends on the social strategy, right? Like if it's a something like a Destination X, I would have picked somebody, who I didn't think was as strong of a player. But if it wasn't like that, then I would probably more so try to get in really close with like the really popular person, and just kind of be seen as one of them, like, oh, nobody wants to get them off kind of thing. I don't know. It would kind of depend on the game to determine the exact strategy. But yeah, I definitely would approach it differently.
Definitely. We're also in the middle of a Love Island season. Are you watching that at all because you mentioned it?
I
No.
am not. No, I'm not. That seems like it seems like so much. Like 4 nights a week, that seems like I've got things going on, and I don't know if it's something you can just jump in and out of. Dating show's not particularly my thing, but I mean, like everybody loves it, so I can't hate on it. I've not paid much attention to it, but it seems like a lot, just in terms of like hours you have to commit to.
Oh, totally. I can't wait to get my life back. Is there anything else you want to say or like have the fans know about your experience on Destination X?
I think it's important to know to an extent that like we because our bus interactions aren't shown so much, but like we were all like really, really close, and anytime you're like singling somebody out or any talking shit or anything like that, like that was like pure gameplay. Like we really all loved each other so much. We had really, really close friendships. And there was also like a lot of strategy going on that like you don't get to see. And so like a lot of things were like, like even like me telling Biggie Salzburg, that almost kind of comes out of nowhere. But we've had a really strong relationship like the whole entire show. And so I think that's important to keep in mind, that like we all were really close and have a lot of fun.
Was there any one person you were rooting for more than the others to win after you left?
Believe it or not, still Biggie.
Okay.
I
I
feel like
believe
I should have hated him a little bit more, but I'll take responsibility for that as well. I shouldn't have told him, but no, I really wanted to see him win. Also, he'd never been out of the country before. I think he'd been to Mexico, but like still, like it's so just really, really impressive to like go to episode, I guess 7 is the next one. Like that's still really impressive. And so yeah, I was rooting for him. I also wanted a girl to win. From the start, I really wanted an all girl finale. We still have two left, so hopefully at least one of them makes it all the way. That would be really cool.
I agree. I live in Chattanooga, so I'm just dying watching Biggie and
So funny.
telling my partner every time he said doggone maybe like 5 times this
It's
episode.
ridiculous. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Well, it was so nice talking to you,
You
Mac.
as well.
Excited to see what you do next.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, thank you for
Yeah,
your
thank you
time.
so much.
Hello, I am Nicole Weaver, and I'm here with Allie Bross of Destination X. How are you doing, Allie?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. I want to start at the beginning of your game, which actually started with Mac, and you guys were working well in that first challenge. She told me that she wasn't really into the social game aspect of this, while you obviously flourished in that area. So, can you tell me a little bit from your perspective of how your games kind of went separate ways after that?
I think that social game was my biggest strong suit, and Mac's biggest strong suit was just knowing where she was. She is so familiar with European cities. She's been to countless numbers of them. So I feel like you could probably show her some trees and she would be like, Poland, So I think that she didn't exactly need the social game, and I feel like from what she tells me, and we're very close, she wasn't expecting it to be so much social game. So she just kind of opted to play a little bit of a social game until more in the middle of the game. Opted not to play a social game
Right.
until more in the middle of the game. Whereas in episode one, I was immediately trying to find alliances. I loved Ty. I loved Josh. I even liked Rick episode one. I was really wanting to work with people. And then eventually, obviously, I was dating Shane. So that became an alliance in and of itself. And then Biggie was kind of a package deal. So yeah, alliances were probably one of the most important aspects of the game because there was never going to be one place that everyone knew unless everyone was talking. I think that everyone had different amounts of geographical knowledge to the point that maybe two people knew we were in Rome while the rest didn't, but then people would start talking. So relationships really did matter a lot.
It did. There was also a perspective that you were helping Shane a lot during the game. Can you speak to that? Did you feel like it was a good 50-50, or how did he help your game?
I think Shane helped my game because he was very good with physical challenges. So he would win clues and then share them with Biggie and I. And then I would be able to analyze the clues that he got. Well, maybe the clues didn't make sense to him. I could kind of try to put the pieces together, right? He helped me a lot in that way. I think that we helped each other in very different ways. I think it, overall within our alliance, we were all helping each other again, maybe not equally, but in different ways, and I think that everyone has their strong suits, and when you put that together, it becomes something really, really strong and can get you a lot further in the game. And it definitely did. So, I was the only person to recognize Jennifer Aniston, Eva Longoria, because I told Ty that when we were in the bathroom. I was like, Jen, Eva. But, that's such a silly little thing to notice that probably no one was even thinking about it. So, like I said, everyone had a strong suit. So.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. And Mac said once that was a clue, Mac was like, oh, maybe the clues are a little bit more obvious than I first assumed.
I
Let's
think
talk
they're
about
all
time.
over the place in different episodes. Like,
Absolutely.
sometimes they're really obvious, and sometimes it's Jeffrey's shoes. So, I don't know.
Right. Your alliance, you let go Ty after she was caught lying about how she met Janae, but then now looking at the new episode and looking back, it kind of seems like you then became the odd man out because Biggie was more loyal to Shane. So, did you ever question when debating whether to cut Ty if that was going to be the repercussion?
Us working to get Ty out wasn't about the Janae lie. It was about her feeding information to Peter. I didn't care that she lied about meeting Janae. She came and pulled me aside right afterwards and said, "Hey, like Shane and I weren't supposed to talk about this," and I panicked. I didn't know what to say. Like I did meet Janae, so that wasn't a problem for me. I forgave her for that pretty quickly, the same way I forgave Shane. But when Biggie gave her a false information and she immediately leaked it to Peter, that was when I decided, okay, I can't trust Ty because she's telling Peter things. So it was unfortunate. I wanted to go to the end with Ty. Ty was my girl. I loved her. I still like her. We don't really talk recently, but I think she's great. And yeah, it was disappointing to see her go because Shane and I had an understanding that it would be me and Ty first. And him and Biggie first, and
Okay.
that Shane and I would meet somewhere in the middle, and that there would be things that we couldn't share with each other. We didn't want a showmance to ruin our game. So Ty leaking information to Peter did kind of ruin that dynamic. and did send her home. But at the end of the day, I think that Biggie, yeah, just didn't trust me enough. And I think that it'll probably ruin his game. I think if he had kept Shane and I in and didn't put daggers on us, he could have won the whole thing.
Okay, since you and Shane talked about having other people kind of as like your closest ally, once you cut tie, did you think about pulling in anyone else as like an insurance policy or anything like that?
Mac came into the equation. She was a part of an alliance with Biggie, Shane, and I, but it wasn't for very long. She ended up getting booted by Peter. So otherwise, I think that would have been really successful. I love Mac. I think she's so intelligent. And that would have been really great. But once Mac was gone, it was kind of like, I don't want to work with the other alliance. I mean, Shane and I will have issues, and then I'm gonna be the next one out because it'll be me, Biggie and Shane, and then the other alliance. So I was like, I might as well stick with Biggie and Shane, even though Biggie doesn't trust me.
Okay. He would have had issues even if you pulled in Janae.
I think that even if Janae and I had decided to work together, it wouldn't have worked because her and Peter were going to work together because they were new. So even if I wanted to try to have an alliance with Janae, I think that all the information would have been fed to Peter the same way all of her information would have been fed to Shane. So it was kind of like we're at a crossroads here where it just wouldn't have worked. I liked Janae a lot. Like we got along, played cards, laughed about it. She told me all about Love Island. I'd never seen it. But I think that at that point it was too late for like a us to be like a solid two girl alliance,
Did you ever go back and watch Love Island after meeting her?
I didn't, no. I'm not a huge love show. I've not really watched a lot of those, like Too Hot to Handle or anything like that. I recently actually watched Queer Ultimatum, and I really liked that, but I haven't really watched a lot of like dating shows. I was always more into like drama shows, not reality shows. I haven't really watched a lot of reality TV since I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. I am interested to see some of her episodes now. Yeah,
So,
especially with the after sun stuff. It looks cute.
very cute. Shane, he did break your vase in that one challenge, and I think you kind of mentioned it. I think, what was the fallout from that and moving forward together?
There was no fallout. I absolutely knew that that's what he was going to do. Like I said, it was me and Ty, Shane and Biggie, because that was our original alliances. And I even gave a speech after he crashed my vase. And I said, if he had chosen to smash Biggie's vase and not mine, that would have made him completely untrustworthy because you're immediately switching up on a guy that you promised your loyalty to because you like me, some girl. That means any other girl could come pick him up off of the street. I wanted to be with a guy who was trustworthy and who would stick to his word. And I think that him sticking by Biggie was the proper thing to do. Also, I would not have recognized Amsterdam. So if it had been me that won the clue, I would have been like, huh?
That's fair. That's fair. The one challenge that you did have trouble with the clues, which honestly, playing at home, I did too, was that kayak challenge in Venice with Janae. I will say that's probably one of the funniest moments of the whole season, though. So can you
Our
tell me?
kayak going backwards.
Yes.
It was crazy.
So I take it that neither of you have kayaked before.
I have kayak a lot, but
Oh.
not in rapids. I'm from Florida and I have kayaked springs. I've kayaked in the bay of the ocean, but like that river was really going fast. And yeah, I don't typically do a two-person kayak either. So like having to coordinate when what we were. It was so hard, and it's so funny they didn't include it, but Janae was like, I'm peeing," and she was peeing in the kayak, and it was a mess. We were a mess. We were having so much fun. We were cracking up. It took us so long, but we were having the time of our lives. Oh my God, that was one of my favorite challenges.
Nice. Now, the hard thing about Destination X is that you might get a clue, but you don't know if it's a red herring or a true clue. And with the having to rule out one doesn't belong in that kayak challenge is also, that seemed really tough. Did you have any clue along the way of like how well or how badly you were doing?
No. We had no idea. There were so many different ways that that challenge could have gone, and like there was a whole segment of a challenge that was cut out. Like, so I mean, there was a lot there that didn't really make sense. Like, you could have argued that Madonna was a woman, and that's why she's the odd one out. Like, there were a lot of different ones there that like, and the Janae and I chose the one that didn't melt, or the one that wasn't a solid, like ice melts, right? So that's what we chose, and that made sense. But none of the others, it didn't, that challenge didn't make a lot of sense to me. I thought that we were in the Dolomites. I thought that we were in Italy, but none of the clues matched up to that, and it was super confusing. So then that had me thinking maybe we're not in Italy, but behind us looked like the Dolomites, but I didn't end up having to go to the map room, so I kind of just let it all go. But yeah, that challenge was super confusing.
Yeah, that makes sense. What I thought about when watching that, I was like, this is why those this to that is no longer on the SATs, because that's all that was.
Yeah, no, it made no sense.
Also, so you revealed that you and Shane dated 2 months after the show, ended things, and now you're friends. How has navigating friendship been now having to watch the season back with how you met and everything?
It's been even better. I mean, I think we have a lot of love for each other in our hearts and so much respect for each other. And I mean, I'll always be his number one fan, and I think he'll always be one of mine. So it's really great to have someone that really just supports you no matter what, and went through that similar experience. Like, we experienced that together on the bus, and it's beautiful, you know? We got a really great friendship out of it either way.
Love it. So you are a travel influencer. How has your travel, was there a specific destination or challenge where your influencing was the most helpful?
I don't think it was ever helpful once in the entire game. Most of my travel has been through Asia. I've been to Nepal, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand. I mean, I did Zimbabwe. I went to a ton of Antarctica, Iceland, like none of the places that we went. You know, I've been to at the time I'd been to like 37 something, a little more or less countries, none of which we went to. The only place I went to previously was Rome, and I was there for 48 hours getting on a cruise. So, I mean, it didn't help me at all. I've never really been super interested in Europe. It just felt very similar. It's like America with flavor. Whereas in Asia and Africa, you're really immersing yourself in other cultures. And having studied religious studies, political science, and anthropology, I was always very interested in other cultures and their myth stories, like their origin stories of existence and things like that. So I wasn't going to get a lot of that in Europe outside of Catholicism. In Africa and Asia, you're learning so much about religions that are barely ever heard of, and I think that that's what drew me there. So it didn't really help me on the show.
That's still really beautiful. Maybe you can come back when Destination X does Asia.
I know, right? They need to get rid of the borders so that they could do that.
Anyways, so Peter and Rick made a great pitch to Biggie that was part of your undoing of you can only get to maybe top three with going down with a couple. Was that ever a conversation between you and Biggie? And did you know that Biggie was ever worried about that?
I had no idea. That was pretty much a blindside. I didn't know that until last night. Shane and Biggie and I had always talked about if it was the final three, we would just be for ourselves. Shane even said, if it gets down to us being the final three, I won't try, and you guys can go at it. So I felt strategically it did not make sense for Biggie to want to go against two very intelligent players that know a lot about European geography, like Rick and Peter. I feel like it would have made way more sense for Biggie to stick with his alliance, because Shane and I do not know as much about European geography. But Rick's very manipulative, and I think he really got into Biggie's head, and I think ultimately it will ruin Biggie's game. I mean, we'll have to see how it plays out, but I think that if Biggie had chosen to put his daggers on Peter and Rick, that he would have had a much better chance of winning. Not to slight myself, I don't know what the challenges would have been, but if the finale was solely based on, hey, where are you? I think that he would have had a much better shot against me or Shane versus Peter and Rick. So,
Yeah.
however, if it was something very pop culture or Mozart, maybe then he would have been in trouble.
Now, I do think hearing someone say I would just take third place for two of you, it's almost too good of a deal to believe. Did you ever question that?
No, Shane is the most honest and loyal person I've met. Well, one of them, top three at least. And I know that he wanted to be there to push himself and be a part of the social game and make it as far as he could. But he really, really cared about me and he really, really cared about Biggie. And I have no doubt in my mind that he would have stepped back to let us try to battle it out.
Okay. Peter and Shane had an interesting feud, and Peter had a very different perspective on the game. I think coming from Traitors, he was willing to get his hands a little bit dirtier. So what was that whole situation like? Like, we see them shaking hands. We hear Shane say, "You could stop shaking my hand," but Peter wants to continue. Very weird, watching from home, but you had a first seat to that.
I think that they just didn't get along in terms of strategy. I think that it was very silly of Peter to request that I lie to Shane when he knew he was going to turn around and go talk to Rick. It was like, hey, why are you asking me to not do what you're about to do? So that made no sense. And I feel like if Peter was more strategic and smart about his gameplay, he would have kept that to himself. Why are you asking me to lie? It was very strange. So when I told Shane that, that made him very angry because Shane and I's game was built on mutual trust and loyalty within the alliance. Anyone out of the alliance can F themselves, but within the alliance, we were very locked in. So to hear Peter telling me to do that, I think Shane didn't like that. And then there was a whole bunch of stuff about conspiracy theories and the moon landing and things that didn't get shown. And Peter was like, you don't even think the moon landing was real. So that was all part of the big blow up. And ultimately they're cool. They're cool now. They handled things. It fizzled out. But I think that they were just playing two different games. And I think that's pretty much all it was.
Okay. It looks like that was all the time that we have, but it was so nice speaking to you, Allie, and can't wait to see what else you did.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.